From WIPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Editors of the new weekly The Baltimore Beat return for a regular pulse check. Deputy editor Mara Callahan tells us why arts coverage deserves the same care and attention as news coverage. And the Beat's editor-in-chief, Lisa Snowden-McRae, talks about this week's cover story, New Year's resolutions for Baltimore City, but not from the people in power.
We don't have the mayor quoted in this piece, but I do hope she reads. I hope that the police commissioner reads. I hope the people in power read, because what we brought together were not things that are like pie in the sky. They're all very down-to-earth and realistic.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. Defying the trend of news weeklies, even dailies, ceasing publication, the new weekly in this town, the Baltimore Beat, continues to cover the news and issues that animate the city. The Beat's editor-in-chief, Lisa Snowden-McRae, spoke with us after the inaugural issue hit the stands in November, and she's back for what we hope will be a regular pulse check to hear some background of the Beat's cover stories and to capitalize on the street-level perspective the Beat reporters can offer. Welcome back to On the Record.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. Deputy Editor Mara Callahan joins us as well. Thanks for being here, Mara.
Thanks for having me.
This week's cover story features resolutions for Baltimore City from about three dozen people about what they hope the city will strive for in the coming year. How did you choose who to ask for input?
I will talk about the part that I was in charge of, which was gathering things from social media. And that was anyone who responded. I think one of the things that I noticed from kind of living on Twitter and Facebook is that there's no shortage of opinions. So I didn't have to do much to get people to tell me what they thought might need improvement or what things needed to be highlighted in the city.
Okay, but so Mara, I gather you were in charge then of getting of actually soliciting resolutions?
I gathered a bunch of contacts for people in the art scene, so mm-hmm. that's sort of my area of specialty, and our managing editor, Brandon Soderberg, also brought in a lot of other names, so we kind of all just threw out names at each other and just sent out as many emails as we could. We sent out, I don't even know how many, maybe like hundreds of people, and we got a lot back, and I was actually very happy with how many we received, given everyone's like, you know, on vacation and busy and thinking about what they need to do themselves this year, let alone, you know, what the whole city needs to be doing. So, yeah, we just reached out to as many people as possible.
And tell me what the thinking was about what, how to phrase the question and what it was you were hoping these resolutions would bring forth.
Well, we just asked what they want to see from the city in the new year, basically.
Right. Yeah, I think what you just said, people a lot of times at this time of year are thinking about what they want to do, kind of taking a fresh start at your own life and things you might want to add or take away. But this is something where, you know, broaden that that scope a little bit and look at the city as a whole and see what things you want to change and not change. One of the things that might be a little interesting is that you don't see, say, a quote from the mayor or police commissioner. I think one of the things that we try to do, because we are an alt weekly and we are kind of like off the beaten path, is put more of the emphasis on people that you don't usually hear. So there's regular people. Like I said, we have social media people. We have regular residents in the city. We have, like Mara said, people in the arts community, people who are working kind of with policy, but in different ways. Like we have, I think, a professor from Morgan. We have Todd Oppenheim, who has run for judge and is also a public defender. So just kind of like other perspectives that aren't like the official, you know, state perspective on the city.
Right. Quite a few activists.
And what themes emerged?
One thing that I thought was funny, well, not funny, but interesting with gathering my social media comments is we got a succession of like 4 or 5 in the row of people who said abolish the police, which is an interesting way to start the year, but also kind of makes sense given that our police department is embroiled in a very large scandal on top of other scandals that they've had recently. A lot of stuff focused on crime, a lot of stuff focused on kind of centering children in the city and ways to help them and keep them the focus. My resolution touched on kind of rethinking things in general and how a lot of our policies are grounded in really a lot of racism. And I think that there were other people who spoke to that as well.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Baltimore Beat Editor-in-Chief Lisa Snowden-McCray and Deputy Editor Mara Callahan about this week's issue on Stands Today. Let me pick up on your point about what people said about police, because one of the comments that called for Police Commissioner Kevin Davis to be fired came from your managing editor.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Soderberg. And I realize you're an alternative weekly, and I come from a different journalistic background, but how will it work with your managing editor on the record calling for the police commissioner to be fired? How does he then organize coverage of the police department?
Sure. I mean, that's a line that we work with. The way that I look at journalism is that there is no objectivity. But because Brandon's saying that out loud, I don't think it means that we can't still give the police commissioner a fair shake. Any coverage that we give the police commissioner and the police department will be fair. We always ask them for comments. We always cover everything. But basically, I think that there's a way Brandon can say that, and we can still be dedicated to providing people information.
When you and I first spoke, you talked about taking on the role of editor-in-chief, mm-hmm. especially as a Black woman mm-hmm. journalist, and your intention to begin to address what was missing, what you saw as missing in coverage of the city.
Yes.
Does this list of 50 or so people and the ideas that they present, does this represent a cross-section of the voices you're trying to include in the paper's reporting?
I think so. I mean, we're still very, very new, and we have a very tiny staff. So we're already, everything that I'm doing, every issue that we've had, I think we're all thinking about how can we do this better next year. So I think we'd like to, next year, be able to include more. But in thinking about the people that we were contacting and the way that we, you know, gave people a chance to give voice, we tried to make sure that it was as inclusive as we could get it to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Mara, you are arts editor as well as mm-hmm. deputy editor, and a lot of these voices are from the arts. What would you say was, if there was a theme of what the arts community is looking for in these resolutions?
I think there were two main themes. One was one that we've been hearing for a long time, which is for the city to take the arts seriously and not as a plug for tourists, but as something that actually benefits and it really keeps people alive. Like, especially in a year, in these last few years where we've had so many murders, it's such a violent city. Like, I mean, I keep going back and forth about the power of art and, you know, its capacity to bring about change. But one thing that I do know is that it is vital in the fact that it keeps people going. So I think the city needs to look at art that way and not as a way to bring people in, not as a way to, not as an economic boost or anything like that, but just something that is as necessary as schools. The other thing is more of a critique of the art scene itself. And that would be to consider what it means to be a safe space. Spaces should be more inclusive to queer people, people of color, women, and not harbor sexual predators, which is a problem everywhere. So,
and I think we'll talk more about that later in the show. Another, there seemed to be, as you mentioned, Lisa, quite a few comments about transit and transportation mm-hmm. and issues there. Did you pick up on a clear way forward from the advice that, or the resolutions that you got?
I mean, it really just feels like people who are bus riders, bike riders, walkers are still just kind of yelling for attention at this point. Like, we aren't, I don't think in the city, we still aren't giving them, you know, the proper respect. I think Boehner Woods wrote, who's a writer for The Real News and also has written for us, wrote about how, you know, we have these pedestrian deaths and they're just kind of like a blip on the radar. There's nothing that's done besides saying that these, it's sad. And I think that they were all just kind of like, hey, you know, we exist. Please help us. You know, we're just as important as people who drive cars, if not more.
Was there anything that surprised you in the comments and the resolutions you got?
I think for me, I guess it's emblematic of Baltimore. Like, I just feel like they're so common sense. Like, people here, I think, are so, like, we kind of already have the answers in a lot of ways. Like, the people who are neglected by the systems that we have in place, like, you know, like I said, the people that are walkers and bus riders and bikers, people who are people of color, people who are queer, people who are on the outskirts have told us what they need, given us kind of the framework to work with. And at this point, it's kind of like, you know, we, like I said, we don't have the mayor quoted in this piece, but I do hope she reads. I hope that the police commissioner reads. I hope the people in power read, because I think that we, what we brought together were not things that are like pie in the sky. Like, if you're going to contrast it with people's own resolutions, we're not saying, you know, I'm going to do these crazy, unrealistic things. They're all very down to earth and realistic. And it's just like getting these people and the people in power linked up is where we have to do all of our work.
Mm-hmm. Well, sorry, I was just going to add that, you know, we both came from City Paper, and so did Brandon Soderberg, our managing editor. So we've been doing these issues, these resolutions issues, for a while. And I think the thing that strikes me, but at the same time is not surprising at all, is just how many of these are repeats, like things that people have been saying for years and are still saying and still needing to say.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with Baltimore Beat Editor-in-Chief Lisa Snowden-McCray and Deputy Editor Mara Callahan about this week's cover story, Resolutions for Baltimore City. After the break, we'll hear about more to look for in this week's issue of the Baltimore Beat. I'm Sheila Cass. This is On the Record. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're speaking with the Baltimore Beat's editor-in-chief, Lisa Snowden-McCray, for our regular check-in about the paper's news focus. And today we're also joined by Deputy Editor Mara Callahan, who is also the Beat's arts editor. Mara, what are your plans and hopes for arts coverage in the Beat?
My main thing is that I want to treat arts coverage with the same level of attention and care as we treat news stories. The arts and news overlap a lot more than I think people realize. The arts are more often than not a response to news. Sometimes they create news. And I think it's important for us to give it the same attention as we do police, activism. I mean, art is so tied to activism also.
Give me an example of arts creating the news.
You have stories like Le Mondo, which is an arts development downtown that's kind of embroiled in a scandal right now because the artistic director was fired for after several women, I think over a dozen women came forward with allegations of misconduct. You have stories like that. And then you have stories where the art itself is both a reaction to news and is really a news story in itself. Like, you have the placement of the sculpture Madre Luz by Pablo Macchioli in front of the Confederate monuments earlier this year, before the monument was finally removed, the Robert E. Lee Jackson Monument. You know, it was placed up there, and it was this really beautiful image and suggestion of possibilities of what comes after we take these monuments down.
Mara, your resolution for the city had to do with safe art spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And what you wrote wasn't just about structural safety. A culminating line was this, quote, "Don't claim to be a safe space. Work toward becoming a safer space."
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
Right. So I don't believe it's possible to be a safe space. Because you can't vet everyone through walks through your doors. And I don't mean physical spaces, but if you have a series, like a poetry series, a band, anything, it's not possible to know that no one involved in your project or who is an audience of your work has not harmed someone in the past. I mean, that's just not possible and unlikely. So I think what art spaces need to be doing instead of claiming to be safe spaces, which many are. And there's a lot to that, like a lot of spaces like the Bell Foundry, which closed in January of last year, was in many ways a safe space to artists of color and queer artists. But there's still so much possibility for things to go wrong. So I think artists need to educate themselves on how to respond to situations. And, you know, what do we do when we find out that our leaders have really troubled histories or troubled presents?
Leaders of arts organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's Mara Callahan here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass. Mara is deputy editor of the Baltimore Beat, as well as its arts editor. And editor-in-chief Lisa Snowden-McCray is also here. Mara, there's an article in The Beat this week about the mayor's task force on safe art space. What is the current status?
Right. So that task force was created in the aftermath of the closing of the Bell Foundry, which I mentioned earlier. So it was, you know, an effort to make sure that the spaces that we're both showcasing and creating art in are structurally safe. But, you know, the closing of the Bell Foundry left about a dozen people without homes very suddenly, and it was just not handled well. So the task force was created to ensure that artists could create and perform without fear for their physical safety, and also without fear of being raided and shut down. In the end, the task force, it seems, was kind of an empty gesture by the mayor, because it didn't really. It brought out some good things, like it brought out some technical assistance to certain spaces that came forward and asked for it. But it didn't solve this distrust that exists between artists and the art scene and the city, because I think a lot of artists feel that the city is more interested in the economic value of the arts more than what they actually provide to the people who live here now. And this, again, is just kind of it's kind of emblematic of that pattern once again.
Also, it just seems like, for me, the coverage both, you know, in the piece that's in the paper, which is written by a freelance writer, Brandon Black, and the reporting that was done at City Paper, is just like, the theme with that seems to be the people that aren't in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the artists from the beginning of this thing were not included on the task force.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The people from the Bell Foundry, no one from the Bell Foundry was included on the task force.
That's one of the things that, you know, people need to ask is, how is this going to affect change if the people that are most affected are not there to weigh in?
Brandon Block's piece seems to criticize, if I'm reading between the lines correctly, seems to criticize the mayor's calling for outside funding, donations, foundations, etc., as opposed to the city's own funds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether that is this is the Beat's editorial perspective, whether it is your position that the city should be putting more money into spaces for arts.
Obviously, money is an object here, but I think that it's a little worrisome that in many ways the mayor seems to keep looking outward for solutions and not here. Like, if we're getting money from other places, what does this money come with? You know, if we're getting money from Kevin Plank for whatever, you know, what obligation does this money come from? If we're getting money for violence prevention projects from like Boston, I think it was, or wherever, what do they not know about Baltimore? So, you know, we're not saying turn down money, but it needs to be thoughtfully it's a task that needs to be undertaken with a lot of thoughtfulness, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I really like about Maura, working with her and hearing her input on the art scene, is like, I'm not an arts person. I don't know anything about it. I know when things are pretty, and that's about it. But I think that as I've learned more about it, it's one of those things that should be obvious, but it's not. Like, you need to have a place to live if you're making art. Like, you know, these are not jobs that you're not going to be making a ton of money. And these people literally don't have money to pay rent. And so how are we going to, you can't create if you can't even, like, feed yourself or have a safe place to live.
And it's vital. It's not just, I was going to say it's not just entertainment. Sometimes it is just entertainment, but entertainment is extremely important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a extremely necessary service to the city and the people who live here.
Lisa, what else can readers find in The Beat this week?
While we're talking about art, one of the things that Maura has done here that was not, we didn't get to do at City Paper, was your On Paper series, which is any artist in Baltimore. So we've had paintings, we've had poetry. I don't know. Maybe you should talk a little bit better. You can probably talk a little bit better about this.
So what I wanted to do with that is sort of have it as a space that we could use as a forum for artists. And the curatorial thread that I'm kind of looking at is art that sort of feels, has the weight of manifestos or some kind of record. So the first one that we had was by April Camlin, and she did this incredible text-based screen print called The Love Manifesto, and it's exactly what it sounds like. And then the second one was a series of watercolor drawings on paper by another local artist, Bonnie Crawford. She's been doing this project for 2-ish years that's inspired by the artist Louise Bourgeois, who and basically she every time she wakes up in the middle of the night, because she's suffering from insomnia, she wakes up and does these drawings by the light of her cell phone. And so that kind of also, it's not, you know, a manifesto, but it has this, it feels like a living document. And then this week we have 2 pages from a zine by A.J. Hayes, who he's made, I think, over 20 publications on his own, and they include photography, poetry, works on paper. So in this one, we have a photograph that he did as well as a poem.
I appreciate your giving us this look inside the paper. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Lisa Snowden-McCray is editor-in-chief of the Baltimore Beat. Maura Callahan is its deputy editor. We hope to check in with the Beat regularly to capitalize on the street perspective its reporters can offer. You can find the latest print issue of the Baltimore Beat on stands today, and you can also read it at baltimorebeat.com. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.